Heard a story once that the pastor was making some calls as a church needed to raise monies to build its buildings. And he called a very wealthy, successful business person whose success and profits had been significant, and that was fairly well known. And the pastor asked if he would consider making a tithe to the church for this project, and the man agreed. And then later the man called the pastor back and said, I thought you wanted 50%. You're only asking for 10%? My goodness, that's easy. Oh, I thought it was a funny story about a tithe. You expect the worst and then you're surprised, right? It's great. You know, so we don't know what a tithe is, and he didn't know either. Unfortunately, I think the pastor corrected him, told him it was only 10. You know, it's interesting. That Genesis passage, I don't know if you caught this in the bulletin, the lectionary leaves out the part about a tithe, leaves out the one-tenth gift. Who knows the mind of those that put together the lectionary? But that's just really interesting, isn't it? That you could read that passage and say, yep, in response, what Jacob did is put the rock down and put oil on it. No, he did more than that. I'm glad Clayton shared that with us today. Romans 8, let us listen for God's word for us in the New Testament. So then, brothers and sisters, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with Him, we will be glorified with Him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly while we wait adoption, the redemption of our bodies. In hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of the Lord. I learned from a Reformed rabbi friend of mine who's now living in Canada and serving there a wonderful phrase, tikkun olam. It goes back to the rabbinical period of Jewish history, and especially in Reformed Judaism, it's an important way to say that we need to be so connected to God in our faith that we have the responsibility to join God in repairing that which is broken or hurting in the world. Tikkun olam. Much is broken. Much is hurting. Much is off track in the world. Faith gives us hope and a responsibility to join God in repairing that world. In other words, don't just say you want peace. Don't just say you want equality or fairness or freedom. Do something. We're all getting excited, aren't we, about the solar eclipse coming in August. And as we think about that big event that's going to happen, I was reminded that it was 1966 that the world received its first view of Earth from the vicinity of the moon. The photo was transmitted to Earth by the Lunar Orbiter 1, and it was sent through a NASA tracking station near Madrid, Spain. There it was for the first time, the the startling, mysterious, beautiful picture, which many of you are conjuring memories of that, of the photograph you've seen. We call it the blue marble photo. There we are, humanity, on one ball, blue, sitting in space, vacuous and dark. If, as Scripture declares with great emphasis, it is God's nature to love and save and redeem and repair and bless, then let's be clear that God's focus is not narrow, but expansive. What started as a covenant to two people, Abraham and Sarah, extended first to their children and then to the ancient nation of Israel and in Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And friends, a careful reading of Scripture tells you it doesn't stop there. Indeed, biblical faith pictures creation itself renewed, refreshed, set free, and redeemed. Our communities need repairing. Our bodies and spirits need repairing. Our planet needs repairing. We in the church call that the stewardship of creation, which means we truly don't own or possess the earth. We manage it. It belongs to God. It is a gift to posterity. We are but caretakers. How many of us have been raised with reduce, reuse, recycle? One small example of the challenge before us is the plastics injury. Did you catch the press release this week? I saw the article in the AJC that since 1950, human beings have produced 9.1 billion tons of plastic. One of our members works for the Environmental Protection Agency, a young adult now in Florida, and she says, "Dad, every plastic fork, every plastic spoon, every plastic knife ever used on this planet is still with us. Doesn't decay. 7 billion tons are no longer used but have been discarded. Some, about 9%, it's thought, have been recycled. But that leaves more than 5 billion tons of plastic in our landfills, in our streets, in our land, in our waterways. Salvation, if it means anything, has to mean more than Jesus loves me, I'm going to heaven. I believe it means that, but it means more than that. It means God's saving love in Jesus Christ is for me and for us and for all the world. God so loved the world, the cosmos, the creation. God made a good world, we know from the beginning of our scripture. And it was human sin that caused us to lose that paradise, that garden. We were poor caretakers. And so God has been in the business of repairing Tikkun Olam and is looking for partners and workers. Revelation at the end of Scripture pictures a tree whose leaves give healing to the nation and waters which bring life and newness and refreshment to the world. I love the passage which we read in Romans today where Paul says that it isn't just we human beings that wait for the full redemption of our bodies and the full adoption of our lives to God's eternity, but the creation itself, just like a woman in labor pain, longing for that new life which is to come. I don't know about you, but I thank the church for helping me get out of my bubble. I grew up on a mountain, and life was happily contained in those 5 acres we owned and those 100 acres that I patrolled. And what the church did for me is it said, you are blessed and you have much to give for which to give thanks, but get beyond that one place, get beyond that bubble and see and engage with others. And there, and think beyond the present to what is to come. I thank the church and I blame the church for forcing me to see beyond self. Our children in this church are having that same experience. They're traveling to Kenya and Peru and Haiti and Charlotte. The congregation as a whole is learning that there's seminaries in Syria that we support, and there are Christians in Russia from whose pastors we hear, and there are folk friends from Bethlehem, and there are opportunities for to service to children in foster care system. It's a big world, and it's the church that helps us engage with that and be reminded of that. There's much need, isn't there? So much that needs repairing. As you know, I had the privilege of seeing Jesus Christ Superstar, which is in the theater, and one of the songs that I grew up knowing and had seen in the movie really popped as the way it was choreographed on the Act One stage here. It had Jesus in the center of the stage, and one by one, beggars and people in need and in desperation came to him. See my eyes, I can hardly see. See my legs, I can hardly stand. I believe you can make me whole. I'm a broken, poor man. The need of the world crashing in, even suffocating Jesus as the needs are so great and so many. And we, the church, continuing that ministry of healing and wholeness and repair and forgiveness and reconciliation in His name. If we're going to do that, we need more than just the staff of the church. We need to fall back on that great reformed principle of the priesthood of all believers. I believe and am grateful for the fact that the church does need pastors. I'm grateful for the church musicians who guide, who lead us in joyful worship. I'm grateful for educators who teach. But we also need Christians in boardrooms so that prophets don't come ahead of people. And we need Christians in nursing homes so that our oldest and most vulnerable are treated with dignity and care. And we need Christians in all places and situations around the world, hospitals, schools, neighborhoods, acting to repair that which is broken and hurting. Many of you will know the name of Katie Dillon Crowe. Katie was one of the children of the church who sat on these steps as she was reared in this church in the love of God. Okay, her mother's in the back, I need to say. Back then it was the old sanctuary, so actually she was up in the theater. But you get the point. God's people nurtured her and cared for her with her parents, and now she's a pastor in Durham, North Carolina. Her beloved father, we miss. He joined the church in glory, the church triumphant some years ago. Her mother rolls up her sleeves and gets to work. And Katie went to that church. I don't advise this for a new pastor, but one of the first things she did in Durham is she went to the church street sign on Trinity Avenue, and she put on that sign, "The church has left the building." It's not normally what a new pastor says. Usually it says, "Welcome Pastor Katie and family," or something like that. The church has left the building. What Katie was trying to help them do is to say the city of Durham does not need us to hide behind these walls. The city of Durham has addiction and violence and poverty and injustice and racism, all kinds of troubles. We need to take what we do here and get out of the building with it. By the way, I think it's gone pretty well for her. It's an impactful church, and her ministry thrives there. We, the baptized members of the gospel, share together the work of giving thanks in the building and then leaving the building to impact and repair the broken, hurting world. In Jacob's dream, our father in faith heard a promise from God. And that promise said, "Jacob, you will have a future. And it will be with God, and that future will bless all of the families of the earth." You and I inherit that promise. All the families of the earth blessed through what God was doing in Jacob. Jacob awoke. He said, "This is an awesome place." He set up a pillar and he anointed it with the oil, making it a house of God. He made a commitment with his life and his earnings to honor God. And then listen to what Walter Brueggemann adds. "We all learn from this story that earth is not left to its own resources, and that heaven is not remote and self-contained by the gods. Heaven, says Brueggemann, has to do with earth. And earth, this story tells us, can rely and depend on heaven's resources. Ours is an incarnational faith. Emmanuel, God with us. The central issue of the text, Brueggemann says, is this question: does God come to human beings to transform us or not? Does God give us a word that changes us or not? Is there an understanding of God that delivers us from a hopeless past to a hope-filled tomorrow? Jacob's story is our story. This place and every place is Bethel, the house of God, the gateway to heaven. There is no place on earth that God is not. There is no person to whom God is not present. The promise of Scripture awakens in us trust in a good alternative future of a kingdom of peace and justice, of all things in Christ, gathered up and reconciled. We and all of creation itself. May God bring to completion that for which we pray, the kingdom to come fully to earth as it exists now in glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.